Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
The weekly gathering place for over 1 million freedom-loving gun owners. The most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. God only knows why. And we got a packed house today.
Because our rights be violated again.
Again?
Again.
Oh, that couldn't be.
The ninth, what's it, the ninth district?
Circuit court.
Some bitches. We have the Honorable Dan Schmutter in the room. Today he's honorable. And we have the Dishonorable Scott Bach in the studio today to discuss this current Peruta decision, how it affects us in New Jersey, and various ramblings and going on in Trenton right now with Queen Loretta Weinberg. But before we start the show, I'm holding this monster Monte Cristo Media Noche that was given to me by a Gun for Hire fan, Victor Rosario. Victor, love you, baby. Thank you. I love when the listeners
bring
me gifts.
You're not
going to
light that up now, are you?
Yes, I am.
It's bad enough we got two lawyers in the studio.
One lawyer smokes cigars. Dan smokes cigars. He's all with it.
I see.
He won't be able to go back
Scott
to work,
and
though.
We'll
ruin his suit and tie.
We'll be in the cone of smokeless.
Yes.
Just remember,
cone of silence.
If you're going to bring gifts to the Gun for Hire Radio staff, it should always be something for me, like a cigar. Okay.
I'll send you my cleaning bill, Anthony.
Got it.
Very
and
nice.
That's fine. And nothing for Sandy. Sandy, this is Victor. He gave me this. This is you didn't get one, so sorry. All right,
well,
gentlemen.
You would have gotten it then back.
So let's talk a little bit about this whole Peruta thing. What the hell is going on? Talk to us, please.
All right, well, yesterday the Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit came down with a decision in Peruta versus San Diego and Richards versus Prieto, which were both challenges to California's regulatory scheme for concealed carry permits. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners know these cases. They've been very highly publicized. The decision has been very hotly anticipated. I'll just give you the quick background to remind people what these cases were about. California, unlike New Jersey, California has a regulatory scheme for concealed carry permits.
I love that word, scheme. Go ahead.
It's the statute specifies good cause, but it doesn't define good cause. And good cause is up to the local authority to determine what that means and what the standard is. So unlike in New Jersey, where justifiable need is a statewide standard that's intended to be uniform, regardless of where you live.
Uniformly bad.
Right. In California, your ability to get a permit actually varies greatly based upon where you live. If you live in Los Angeles County, you have no chance of getting a permit. If you live elsewhere, you might have a chance of getting a permit based upon how the sheriff in that county defines good cause. So in this case, these two cases challenged the definition of good cause and the approach to the regulatory scheme in San Diego County for the Peruta case and in Yolo County for the Richards case. And in both instances, those counties had restrictive policies similar to New Jersey, and therefore the allegation was that, just like in the Drake case, the good cause approach to the permitting was unconstitutional under the Second Amendment. Now, what's interesting about these cases is that the first appeal to the Ninth Circuit with the three-judge panel was successful, and the panel struck down these policies as unconstitutional. It was a really great win. The Peruta opinion, the original panel opinion, it was a wonderful opinion, very well written, and the analysis was outstanding. Unfortunately, an appeal was taken to the full court, what is called an en banc review. Now, in the Ninth Circuit, because it's so huge, it's not actually the full court. They pick a panel of a large number of judges who rehear the case. And so basically when the en banc panel hears the case, they get rid of the three-judge panel opinion entirely, and they take a fresh look at it. And unfortunately, the panel rendered their decision yesterday, and they upheld the restrictive policies. Now, what they did was very unusual in that, unlike in the Drake case or in the Kachowski case or the Ward case, that's the New Jersey, the New York, and the Maryland lawsuits, the court did something very different. Instead of just taking the issue head on and just saying, well, it's constitutional, they went out of their way to redefine the issues in the case in an extremely narrow way, so that by defining it that way, they can only come to one conclusion. They defined the case as a case about concealed carry only, not right to carry generally, but concealed carry only. And what they did is they went through the historical precedents and the historical record about how concealed carry has been treated, and they said, well, concealed carry is not a constitutional right, and therefore you lose. The problem is California bans open carry. So if they ban open carry outright and you have a highly restrictive permitting system for concealed carry, it's not just about concealed carry, it's about any carry. And that's what the dissenters said. The dissenters, there were actually three different dissenting opinions in which the judges said, look, this is, if you define it narrowly about concealed carry, of course you're going to come to the wrong conclusion. This is about whether people get to defend themselves outside of their homes, whether they can carry firearms for their personal defense outside the home. Whether it's open carry or concealed carry, people have a right to defend themselves. And when you narrowly define it that way, of course you're going to come to the wrong result.
Well, let me weigh in here and say that what I think is really going on here, for the Ninth Circuit, look, these judges are not dumb, okay? They intentionally recast the issue so they could come out with an outrageous decision, in my opinion, because this is a setup. And the setup is they want gun owners to take the bait and appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court when there's a 4-4 split on the Supreme Court.
And then if it comes out even, it'll get knocked back down and their decision will be held, correct?
The idea is, without Scalia, the court with Scalia they refused to hear all these carry cases that preceded Peruta, okay? And so you have to ask why. There's all kinds of speculation about why, but bottom line, this is just my opinion, it's a setup. Get us, force us, almost create something so outrageous that we take the bait, take it to the Supreme Court, and then the United States Supreme Court slams right to carry for the entire, sea to shining sea. That's my opinion about what's really going on here. And look, Peruta is just one of many carry cases that have come to the Supreme Court when Scalia was there. So I guess we'll pick it up after the break.
For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com, or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
The world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
And this segment is brought to you by LibertyOfficeSuites.com. Liberty Office Suites and Montville Executive Suites are located on New Road in Parsippany and in beautiful Montville, New Jersey. We have furnished private offices, telephone answering mail, and meeting rooms with the ability to hold up to 70 people. Ron has graciously donated his 70-person meeting room for SafeCon on July 29th. They will be offering CLE credit class. Are you going to that, Dan?
I am, yes.
Dan will be there. And on the 30th, of course, will be SafeCon. I got to meet Ron Sousa's lovely mom yesterday. He brought her in here on the way to New York to a party. So it was nice to hang out. I love that whole family environment we have here. And just to remind everybody, so it's MontvilleOffice.com, LibertyOfficeSuites.com, and they are hosting the CLE credits. And, of course, SafeCon will be July 30th, and all of us will be there, including Cam Edwards and just about every major gun range and gun store, and anybody who is pro-2A will be coming in that day. Go to njsafecon.net to register and get your tickets now so John can get an idea of how many people are coming. Again, it's at the Parsippany Hilton. There's no excuse not to go. It's a Saturday, July 30th. We are going to have a phenomenal time there. Am I correct, guys? Last year was successful. This year is going to be even better.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what pisses me off? There's detractors that say we're just doing it because it's a dog and pony show. But this is nobody's ever done this.
Who's saying that?
Oh, please. Please. You know who. But
it
anyway,
doesn't matter what you do. There
correct.
Will always be someone
correct.
Against
well,
that.
Well, we should just sit home and post shit on Facebook and berate other people, because that's going to get
it.
Us where we need to be in the
yeah,
state of New Jersey.
What it has is it works.
Listen,
so far.
What's wrong with all of us getting together and sharing our views and sharing our pain and maybe finding other ways to do things and getting the media involved and getting some state recognition and national recognition to our cause? I can't see how it can hurt in any way, shape, or form. But for those people that think it can, I send a big F you out to all of them, okay?
Or just
because
get together
that's how I is, all right? Now,
that's how I roll.
That's how
Who
I roll.
Who gave him
I don't
the Red
give
Bull today?
I don't give a
what's
shit.
It to you? How many Red Bulls did you have before you came in here?
I didn't have any. I had 4 cups of coffee today and 1 iced tea.
Oh.
But I'm
all
fine.
Within 20 all, minutes
yes.
of the show,
I
right?
I can hear colors. Okay.
I can look into your brain and see colors.
I
right
can
now,
hear too. Colors.
Very good.
All right, Scott, continue on Peruta and what's going on here. And Dan, please share with us more before we get into New Jersey.
Well, all I'm saying is I think this is a setup, because now is an extremely dangerous time in Second Amendment jurisprudence. With the loss of Scalia and, you know, a 4-4 split. Now is the time that...
And a possible Hillary presidency.
And a possible Hillary presidency. Now is the time to be wise, to be disciplined, to understand that right to carry on the Supreme Court is a long-term proposition. And anyway, I mean, I'm sure Dan has a lot to say about it, but just big picture, that's where I think this is going. This is an absurd decision coming out of the Ninth Circuit. It's so absurd, I believe it's temptation to us. And I don't think we should bite. I think we need to wait until the odds are stacked in our favor. And right now, they're not.
And that would require Trump being elected president.
Absolutely. But even if Hillary is elected president, that's all the more reason not to bring a challenge right now. I mean, you've got to be tactical about this. You know, listen.
It takes at least a year, right? The process from...
When they granted the en banc
until now was almost a year, right? Almost a year to the day.
Listen, the Supreme Court process could take several years. And by the way, in several years, if we have a Trump presidency, there could be more than one U.S. Supreme Court justice changed.
Right.
Okay? Listen, I have to conclude based on, Dan, how many cases has the Supreme Court declined to hear on right to carry? 3? 4?
Well, 3, yeah.
I mean, okay.
Yeah.
I have to conclude that when Scalia was on the court, that he scuttled these cases from coming on so we wouldn't do damage to right to carry. Now we don't have Scalia there. We need to wait until we know we have the justices to win it. If we take a giant gamble at this moment, we're playing Russian roulette with the Second Amendment.
Now, someone who's not a lawyer, did the Ninth Circuit have to push this case through? How long have they been sitting on this Peruta case? Dan,
well,
I mean, does it play into what Scott's saying? Is it timing? I mean, could they have waited another 6 months, or were they under pressure?
Like they certainly could. You know, the Court of Appeals certainly could have timed this the way they wanted to. So you know, there's no telling why they did what they did, but certainly they could easily have made a determination that they wanted to have it come out now for those reasons. You know, what the Peruta decision does is it really highlights how absolutely critical strategy and tactics are in how you bring cases, when you bring cases, and where you bring cases. You know, Peruta, I mean, on a positive note, because you can get extensions of time to file a cert petition to the Supreme Court, it's certainly possible that the appropriate extensions could be filed, and it might be possible to wait out the election to see what happens. A rash decision to run in and file a cert petition now, of course, would be crazy, because you have no idea what the Supreme Court's going to look like. You have no idea what the election is going to look like, and it could be extremely dangerous. And there are people out there. I'm not suggesting that the current parties to the Peruta case would do this, but I'm saying, when it comes to this kind of litigation, there are people out there that rush to the courthouse just because they want to, and they want to file cases just for the sake of filing cases, and they don't do it in a thoughtful, strategic manner, and that could do serious damage. You know, so in the context of Peruta, I have no doubt that the attorneys handling the Peruta and Richards cases are thinking through the strategy carefully as to how to do this the right way if they're going to do it and what the right things to do are. You don't forget, there are other cases in the pipeline. There's also, there are two cases in the District of Columbia. There's Wren and there's Grace. And interestingly, at the district court level, they came out the opposite way. Wren was a dismissal and a loss. Grace was a win for the Second Amendment on the D.C. carry law. And so those two cases are in the pipeline heading to the Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia. And so, you have to think this thing through carefully. What cases do you have now? What cases do you have coming? What courts are you going to be before? And what your prospects are? You can't do this haphazardly, and you can't do it.
You can't wing it like I would.
Exactly. I mean, it has to be done thoughtfully and carefully. And there are people out there who don't look at it that way.
Isn't Burton versus Sills an example of what not to do that happened in New Jersey?
Oh, great example.
Many decades ago. I mean,
right. Burton versus Sills was a 1968 case that was challenging the then newly enacted 1966 New Jersey gun control law. And it came at a time when there was no support for Second Amendment rights. There obviously was no a Supreme Court decision like we have in Heller. And so that effort went utterly down in flames, and not only did it go down in flames, but it set terrible precedent in New Jersey, which
for
we live with this
years.
Day.
Which was, there is no Second Amendment in New Jersey. That's what
because
Burton versus Sills said. Listen, well-intentioned, but backfired. Not smart, not wise.
For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers at each port are bulletproof. They're extra-wide ports so two people can stand side-by-side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well-lit. We also have three times as much light downrange that the average range would have, because I believe it's important that the targets are well-lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right. We have two smaller classrooms, and those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids and they'll do a handoff. To To me, it's very important that people are treated like family, so the bathrooms are very high-end. We used marble and corian and really nice tile and full-length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
Freedom.
No rules, no apologies, no holding back. Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. 4 years running.
And this segment is brought to you by Waldorf Chiropractic, WALDORFCHIRO.com. Waldorf Family Chiropractic is conveniently located in Bridgewater, New Jersey. Dr. Eric published his own book, Yes, Chiropractic Can Help You. If you or anyone you need needs chiropractic care, please check out waldorfchiropractic.com. If you don't live within a 30-mile radius of Bridgewater, New Jersey, refer friends and family or just drop Dr. Eric a line on Facebook or his website and thank him for his support. We like to support those who support us. Speaking of which, we will have him on the show, but we had a packed house here this week. Tony Simon's diversity shoot, about 50 new shooters of all diverse backgrounds, unbelievable, from Vietnamese, Filipino, African-American, Spanish, male, female, Indian. Sandy, you wouldn't believe the turnout. He gave out a bunch of free gifts. We had a ton of volunteer instructors that came in. They broke their butts. We had a really good time. I was here till 10 o'clock at night. Unbelievable packed house. They took over the 50. They swelled over into the 25-yard wow. range. Everybody had a great time. I spoke in the beginning when it was classroom only, and then they all went and did their thing, and then I was outside smoking a cigar, and I was talking and greeting everybody on the way out. It really was a successful event. So, Tony, my hat's off to you on your diversity shoots. Even Sherry was here last night for the event representing the SAW group. So, you know, we have all of this crossover, and this is what makes us so great and so special at what we do. So many new shooters got introduced yesterday. First timers, two joined as members of the range.
That's wonderful.
So, you know, it's a beautiful thing to have that happen.
I think it's important, too, that you're doing this and you're giving a venue, too, for Tony. And Tony is spearheading this thing.
Yeah, he broke his butt. He gave out a ton of free gifts, raffles.
Really does.
One of their students won my defensive pen class.
Nice.
You know, that I gave away. He had a bunch of prizes. He had knives. He had training classes to give away. All kinds of swag. So, Tony, my hat's off to you. The other thing, remember, is each one reach one. We have the poker chip edition. If you're a member of the range and you bring a new shooter, Dan, if you bring somebody in as a member and you bring a guest and it's their first time here, we're going to give you a poker chip. And when we have our grand reopening next April, when we have our 60 ports and the range is all done, there's going to be some type of game of chance where we're going to be giving away knives, memberships, you know, whatever else we can think of. And Dan, if you have six poker chips, you will get six pulls of the handle of that game of chance. I have some members that have 25, 30 poker chips already.
Wow, that's fantastic.
I think we're also going to give a prize out to someone who has the most poker chips.
Yeah, that sounds
You know,
cool.
I think that'll be a great thing. So, of course, we'll do a big party with our grand reopening and everything, and we'll cater to everybody, and we'll just have a great
pig
time.
Pig roast. We're going to do a pig roast.
Yeah, pig roast, but also, you know, we have such
it's
a large...
kosher
we have,
pig roast,
we have, No, we have a religious contingent, so I'm probably going to get Noah's Ark and Teaneck to cater some other kosher stuff, because that's what I heard last time. And we'll even have, like, one package of tofu dogs for you people.
Oh,
you
no.
know who you are.
Oh, no.
Pinelli, listening out there. By the way, Pinelli got a clean bill of health.
Wait a minute,
God
Pinelli
bless.
Went vegan now?
Effing Pinelli. No, the last time we had a barbecue here for Labor Day or something, him and Sandra Giancarlo, they both ate tofu dogs. They wanted to try them. Anyway.
Why?
I don't know. The consistency and the way that it looked like the stuff you use to seal windows, you know, like leaky windows or whatever. I didn't go near it. So
moving along.
Guys, before we get into this any deeper, I'm getting inundated about New Hampshire. So we have Dan here too. Dan was slighted because he wasn't here for the New Hampshire show. Apologize, Dan. I apologize. Okay. People are saying, "Oh, I want to put my application in now." Can you guys give us some guidance on what people should do with New Hampshire? I've been telling everybody hold off until we find out what's going on. Dan, take the floor.
Right. I think that's good advice because right now, having come off this really, really great win in New Hampshire, we're actually taking steps to try to come up with a clear, predictable, and concrete method for applicants to proceed going forward. I mean, what we've achieved is nice because we were able to knock out the home permit requirement, but we're left with a situation where it's unclear exactly how applications will proceed going forward. So what we really would like to do, and we're taking steps to try to get this put in place, is a replacement procedure which is both broad and flexible and allows people to put in their applications but rely on a clear procedure that they know they can count on.
That's it? Now, what's the odds that Attorney General Kane in Pennsylvania, who was under 72 indictments and they suspended her law degree from the bar, what's the odds that she can come in and
squat? Why do you need a law license to be the Attorney General?
Correct. What's the odds that she's going to, right now, because right now, if I have a New Hampshire, it's good in PA.
I would say the odds are extremely high. Okay,
you think it's even on her radar right now with what's going on with her?
I personally do because this is not... New Hampshire was not an isolated incident, neither was Pennsylvania, neither was Virginia. To me, that's a pattern. And it's a pattern of essentially anti-gun executive branch people coming into a state and going after low-hanging fruit on right to carry, yeah, which is non-resident right to carry. And, you know, I mean, in New Hampshire, the live free or die state, you know, they suddenly make it impossible for millions of people to get non-resident carry when it's not a problem. So my opinion is they're gonna catch this, quote, loophole. That's what it is in their eyes, and they're going to close it up quickly.
So our listeners out there, if you're rushing to get the New Hampshire non-resident for PA, keep in mind that you could possibly lose PA like we lost Virginia, Florida, and Utah in PA. Right now, the only one they honor is Texas, but they haven't squashed that. And then the other one, obviously, right now is New Hampshire.
With a stroke of a pen, she can change that, and she probably will. The other thing I would say is don't rush to apply to New Hampshire until we get some clarity on an orderly transition. That's what Dan and I are working on right now with the New Hampshire Department of Safety. It's unclear at this moment whether they're going to be cooperative or uncooperative. We will know that probably within a few weeks, and we are working on having a crystal clear standard articulated by the state that's simple and clear for everyone.
So all of our listeners out there, two things will happen when we receive that clarity. A, ANJRPC will issue an email alert. So everybody who's a member or subscribed to the ANJRPC list, you should be a member for $40 a year anyway, even if you live out of state, to support the cause. And B, we will have one or two of these players come on the show and discuss everything that's going on with New Hampshire. So I would wait, holding pattern and wait right now. And also, again, we don't know what's going to happen with Pennsylvania. So, you know, buyer beware. I don't offer a class for the New Hampshire. You don't need to come to me to get your New Hampshire non-resident carry permit. So it's not like I'm telling you to come down and spend some money and take a class. It's not going to work out that way. So just hold off. Promulgating or something? What do you lawyers say? What do you guys use that word? What's it?
Promulgating.
Promulgating.
But nothing's being promulgated right now.
Nothing's being promulgated right now.
We're talking to the Department of Safety, trying to come up with, to agree on an orderly transition and a clear new rule.
Okay.
That's what we're trying to do. I mean, look, you can try to make it up based on the last rule minus the home state permit requirement. But, you know, when you think about it, it's a little unclear what you should be submitting. Right, Dan? I mean, it's.
Well, no. I mean, that's the thing. The rule, the way the rule reads now, it's exactly the same as it was, you know, a month ago. The only difference is you don't have to supply a home state permit. The question and the reason we're saying this is that we don't know how the Department of Safety is going to treat the application when it comes in, because they no longer have the home state permit that they used to get, which means we don't know how they're going to respond to the application when it comes in, and whether they might require other credentials.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So everybody hear that? So what else you guys want to talk about federally before we talk about New Jersey? Is there anything we haven't covered? Or Dan, you got a list over here with all little marks next to it and everything. It's kind of scaring me. My name's on it and everything. Go ahead. What else? What else is federally?
Your name's on
other
a lot
cases?
Of lists, dude.
What do you guys?
Well, I think the most important thing is what we already talked about, which is how critical it is that the strategy be orderly and coordinated and well thought out. The worst thing you could possibly do is go headlong with some random lawsuit that is not thoughtful, not well planned out, not timed correctly, and not brought in the right jurisdiction. Bringing lawsuits in bad jurisdictions results in bad law that hurts. And the most important thing is that a bad decision in one jurisdiction can hurt cases in other jurisdictions.
Because they just reference it in the other jurisdictions.
Correct. It provides ammunition for judges who want to rule against you, and it gives people ideas that they may not have had before. So it's a national strategy. You have to coordinate the litigation throughout the country with a mind to how every case affects every other case.
Gotcha.
And that's the only way to do it effectively. Anything else stands to do real damage to the effort.
Reading what they wrote in their opinion and their, quote, research that they went back to case law, they went back to freaking England, which was amazed me.
Well,
you know?
Well, interestingly, that's actually the right way to do it. What's fascinating about that—
Didn't we win that war?
Well—
Apparently not.
That was done in Heller. What's interesting is that one thing that Heller has done, which is astonishing and very interesting to see, is that courts now take historical analysis in reviewing constitutional questions much more seriously than they used to.
Was that the Mayflower Compact?
Well, no. Heller has established this baseline of constitutional review where the historical context now is very important. And all of these cases, or many of these cases, are being understood in the context of the history. Now, they sometimes get it wrong, like they did here. And, for example, Justice Stevens in dissent got it wrong. But it was all based on a historical analysis, which is something we haven't seen for a long time.
Everything I do gonna be funky from now on.
Time and memories. The two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices. No interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day, and perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
And I would like to congratulate Jose from PhillyGunTraining.com for not screwing up the upload of show 262.
That was a hell of a commercial.
1 week record. Where he hasn't screwed up the uploading of the show. Thank you so much, Jose. It wasn't the wrong show. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
So keep that record going, baby. Please put 263 up correctly. If you're in Philadelphia and you need gun training, PhillyGunTraining.com. Jose Morales has a beautiful boutique training facility in where?
Spring Garden.
Philadelphia, right across you from the police department that issues the permits. Many of our Gun for Hire alumni and cadre have gone down there for training. People that live in South Jersey have gone to see Jose. He has Lipstick Bodyguard for sale. He has a lot of Gun for Hire swag for sale. He's an NRA training counselor, certified instructor, refused to be a victim. check out phillyguntraining.com. So, Ged, you guys were continuing to talk about going back to the Mayflower Compact and everything else that they were the courts were referencing.
I think Anthony means the Magna Carta.
No, but there was also the I know the Magna Carta, but there was the Mayflower Compact as well, where they had the rules and regulations when the Mayflower was coming over about what English law they were going to follow or not. But no, I know the Magna Carta, but I'm just trying to make a joke. So Dan, we know it's been going on with Heller. Heller made it really strong. Now I get an email from Christopher Kent. And he sent me the definition of bear, like the right to bear arms. And so the Ninth Circuit didn't really apply that definition of bear because they're saying we can't carry guns. It has nothing to do with the Second Amendment, et cetera, et cetera. Correct?
Well, no. The Ninth Circuit didn't say we can't carry guns. And in fact, strangely, they specifically left open the question as to whether the Second Amendment might require a state to allow open carry.
And that's the
key feature of this decision is that they drew the question so narrowly. They said it's only about concealed carry, not carry generally, not self-defense, concealed carry. And by phrasing it that way and by framing the issue as concealed carry only, it wasn't difficult for them to come to the conclusion that concealed carry is not compelled by the Constitution. Now, you know, there's actually good, you know, interesting language in the Heller decision which talks about how a number of courts in the past would uphold restrictions on concealed carry, but those cases were in the context of jurisdictions where open carry was allowed.
Okay.
So they weren't saying that a state could prevent you from carrying a handgun for self-defense. What they were simply saying was the state gets to decide how you carry. So if open carry is allowed, they can restrict concealed carry. Now, what's interesting is that nowadays we see the exact opposite. Nowadays we see that states tend to much prefer concealed carry and are more likely to restrict open carry. But the key is they have to allow something. And that's the point of cases like Moore versus Madigan in the Seventh Circuit, or the way the original panel in Peruta held that you have to have some sort of carry so that people can defend themselves. And then that's the problem with the way the court looked at this in the en banc decision is they twisted the issue in a way that compelled the result that they wanted to get to.
Wow, we're screwed.
Well, I mean, also tactically speaking, because again, these decisions are not made purely intellectually. They're made tactically by anti-gun judges. By attacking concealed carry, they know most people are not going to open carry. They know open carry is not going to fly in many jurisdictions. And so they're doing it one bit at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, mm-hmm. you know, the attack is on concealed first. They'll say, but you have the right to open carry. And then, you know, once they've attacked concealed, then they'll go after open. That's the way it's going to happen. And open itself will be, open carry itself will have its own limits. Unlike concealed, which is the most popular form of carry for obvious reasons. You know, in modern society, concealed carry is the way to go. I mean, as Wayne LaPierre always says, you know, when the predators can't tell the difference between the sheep and the wolves, the whole flock is safer.
Right.
All right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So,
I gotta ask you guys now, what's going on with this madness in New Jersey? It's been quiet for like 5 days in New Jersey with the anti-gunners, so that scares me.
Well, look, the first week of June, there was that triple threat in Trenton where smart guns and the New Jersey attack on right to carry were both coming in. Interestingly enough, what happened, look, on smart guns, smart guns went through the Senate again. Look, we know last year was vetoed by the governor, okay? Like within a month after being vetoed by the governor, it was through the Senate again in this new session, and nothing's happened in the assembly. All of a sudden, President Obama starts talking about smart guns.
Yeah, amazing.
And literally a week later, now it's coming up in the assembly. And so, you know, we went in June 2nd ready on that bill. And lo and behold, we found out on the day of the hearing that it had been pulled at the last minute.
So get you down there, and then there's nothing.
Well, there were two other bills that day, but you know, we got to ask why that happened. And you know, the first thing we heard was, well, it was pulled because Senator Weinberg wants to amend it and make it worse. But I have a different theory. I think that they jumped the gun, and somebody in Washington said, hey, wait a minute, don't rush on right
to
carry.
Yeah, hold on. Hold on about it.
Wait until we're a little closer to November
right.
when you can use it against Governor Christie and, by association, Donald Trump, and highlight the issue during a presidential election. That's my theory about what's going to happen with that. So that was one issue we didn't have to deal with on June 2nd. The other is this relentless attack on the governor's recommendations on carry, which were adopted by the state police, and now, you know, we've talked about this, but you know, the legislature is trying to invoke, or is invoking, this provision in the Constitution that allows it to nullify an administrative regulation that it does not agree with. And look, the bottom line is there is a full court press on this. It's already gone through the Senate. Now it's in the Assembly. They beefed it up by adding a new bill that, you know, the existing bill that we talked about, these resolutions essentially invoke this procedure to invalidate the regulation. Now they have a bill that actually takes the definition of justifiable need as it's articulated by the state police and then puts it into state law. So in other words, they recognize the threat. And Dan could probably explain this better than me, but justifiable need's not defined in state statute. It's defined by a case called Sicardi and others. And then the state police made a slight error when they modeled their administrative regulations on justifiable need around the Sicardi case, but they didn't do it quite right. And so what the state police are trying to do is fix that.
The legislators are pissed
off. The antis know that. They realize the vulnerability now, and so they're now trying to take the errant decision of the state police in the administrative regs and put it into state statute.
Ugh.
Okay, so that's what's going on with that, and they're on a tear with that. Of course, the governor's signature is required on that in order for that to happen. Most likely not going to happen during Governor Christie's tenure. So
if
are you there?
Yeah. If
Sandy stepped out mentally for a minute there,
I lost my mind there for a minute.
So one can't lose what one does not have.
That's true. That's very true. I would have to find one first before I lost
it. We can all look.
So like my wife. My wife called you.
Wait, you know, terrible mind's a terrible thing to waste.
Yes, that's very good.
Quail.
Yes. Yes, exactly right. So if they hold it off long enough, and when a Democratic governor who we kind of know is going to get into office during this during
2017,
after Christie lives in 17. That it could be voted on it then.
Yes, among many, many others that are coming down the pike. I mean, you've got to realize we've been defeating these guys pretty much during Governor Christie's term and before, but they are really angry. You know, they're frustrated. They have a lot of pent-up frustration because New Jersey was the place they thought they could win anything.
And
we've shown them a thing or two even before Christie was in office, but since Christie's in office, when he's out of office, if there's a Democrat in the state house, in the governor's mansion, there's going to be an onslaught of anti-gun bills. So we got to gear up for major battle in 2017.
And it doesn't matter who's in the White House at that point, because we're always alone, right?
Well, you know, the federal government can't change what the legislature does, okay? I mean, the only people who can do that are the voters. They can change the legislature, and they can change who gets elected governor. So it would be nice if we had a pro-gun president and a pro-gun governor and a pro-gun legislature all at the same time.
Yeah, but we would also need legislators with stones. You know, like, listen, during Obama's term here, the Republicans could have done a lot more. And this is one of the reasons why Trump is doing so well. You know,
talking about the national Republicans.
Yeah, national, statewide in general,
you know. Statewide's a different story, Anthony.
Yeah, we've been outnumbered in the state for many, many years.
Yeah, we're outnumbered because of the redistricting. I mean, the districts have been so gerrymandered that, you know, I mean, it's built in until the next redistricting.
Which Christie didn't do anything for the last redistricting.
Well, he was involved in the last redistricting. Unfortunately, there was a tactical error that occurred, and the person that wound up doing the redistricting was not our friend.
Correct.
Now, granted, he did not unilaterally pick that person. It had to be chosen, you know, by multiple parties. But the person that was agreed to turned out to be in the tank totally for the anti-gun Dems.
And looking nationally, you know, you look at gerrymandering and you wonder why Trump is doing so well. You know, because people are fed up with the status quo of how the politicians string us along like marionettes. People are tired of it.
Why does that not carry forward to New Jersey? I think here we have that what I'll call like battered gun owner syndrome, right? Everybody just doesn't. They lean back. They're either closeted. They're afraid to talk about firearms to one another. They give flack over when we finally get a state event for firearms owners. People are against it.
Listen.
Gun people are against it.
That's the thing. That is the thing. It's not just that gun owners are battered here. It's that New Jersey is a very liberal place, and a lot of gun owners here are liberals.
New Jersey conservatives are liberal.
Tell us when you come back.
Okay.
Can you tell us on
unbelievable.
Here? Liberal gun owners, part 7, stage 3.
Part 7. Coming back. That's a threat.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise. And although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
Crank it up!
And this segment is sponsored by me, gunforhire.com. Anthony Colandro, reaching out to everybody. Remember to each one, reach one. Also, remember, please, that you should bring new people to the range and introduce them. You know, Scott was just talking about that. Sandy was talking about or the battered gun owner syndrome. Or, 3 weeks in a row, I'm mentioning letters from our friend Rihanna Tang, who was here last night for the diversity shoot, and she said she's listening to all the older episodes of Gunfire Hire Radio. In 174, we talk about closet gun owners in New Jersey, which segue right into Scott because he has a story also. But, you know, people are afraid to tell people. You know, I get dentists that come in all the time. They're like, oh, I don't want my picture on the website or anything because I'll lose half of my clients. You know, those people I can understand.
I get crap, which is why I try to duck out of the Facebook photos all the time. And the squad that I shoot on for Trap, it's made up of mostly doctors and lawyers.
Yep.
And
lawyers.
But, yeah, we let a couple of them in. And no one really wants to be known that they shoot.
Correct. So, Scott, share your story with us, and Dan, you're scaring me.
This is even worse than closet gun owners. So I'm giving a talk within a week ago, and at the end of it, this guy comes up to me and says, I'm a life member of NRA, I'm a member of ANJRPC, and other gun rights organizations in the state of New Jersey, and I'm an FFL, meaning I have a federal and state firearms license that I run out of my home. I sell guns out of my home. But I don't like what you have to say about right to carry, the guy says to me. He says, I think you guys are too extreme, and that's why we keep losing, because people shouldn't be walking around with guns. This is a gun dealer in New Jersey.
Oh my God.
Not someone that people know about, but he's operating out of his home in North Jersey. And he's like, and I've written letters to the editor, and you've never published them. And I'm like, well, where'd you send them? And he turns out he sent them to the wrong address. I said, you sent them to me. We'll publish them in our magazine, and we'll also publish a response. But
and your address.
You know, I debated him. You know, there was a crowd that gathered around. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You're right. You patronize this person at this
address.
Send
your hate mail. Yes, go here. Because he sells guns off his kitchen table.
So look, this is a guy who is a gun dealer. Yeah. He's an NRA member. He's an ANJRPC member. And he's like, I'm not for right to carry, and I think you shouldn't be. And you're part of the problem because you're too extreme because you're advocating for this.
Ugh.
Now, I sat and I debated. He just wouldn't hear it.
What part of keeping bare arms don't these people understand? And it is not the right to hunt or the right to sell guns off your kitchen table, for commerce. It is a right to self-preservation.
Listen, from time to time, I encounter people like this. I've been taken to task for advocating for the bear hunt, for advocating in favor of 50 caliber firearms, large capacity or standard capacity magazines. There are a lot of liberal gun owners in New Jersey. I'm not saying it's all their fault, but it's an unbelievable dynamic that goes on in this state. In addition to the closet gun owners, the hunters who don't get out and vote, you got guys like this who think they're on our side but don't agree with our core issues. I mean, right to carry is fundamental to Second Amendment advocacy.
I take my dog for a walk through the back of my range, and there's cars with Obama stickers on them.
Are there any Bernie stickers?
Yes, there's a Bernie sticker.
Yes.
On the way in here, not right now. I just saw Bernie
We get Bernie shirts that come in. We get people with Bernie shirts coming in to shoot. I think the talking yam, a.k.a. Trump, I think he should pick Bernie Sanders as his VP. He doesn't look like a talking yam.
It's like Mr. Potato Head, only orange.
Yes.
I got it.
When they administered a little too much spray.
just a little bit too much
spray. I went up
spray.
To two women that work in Sizzle Tan came in here. They told me it's a spray tan. I said, can't you change the shade? Like, something a little more natural?
So he doesn't look like he has jaundice?
Jerky or something?
Yeah, something.
Yeah, it looks like he missed two or three dialysis appointments or something, right?
Something pretty sad.
But imagine if you picked Bernie Sanders as his running mate. That would kill everybody. So, Dan, tell us a little bit about your frustration. Usually Scott is the one that gets it all. As the executive director of ANJRPC, as a board member, you know, as a vocal guy, he gets it all. But, you know, Scott's not on Facebook, and you're on Facebook. And sometimes I take screenshots of your tirades getting beat up, you and Darren, and I send them to Scott. And Scott emails me back and says, better him than me. you know? So you get don't you get frustrated? Like, I want to strangle people.
Well, you know, there are a couple of different kinds of situations. You have some people that have legitimate questions and they just don't understand how either the law works or they don't understand, you know, the strategy that's involved. And so I go on there and I just try to explain it because I think a lot of people out there who don't really know how this stuff is supposed to work, they're genuinely interested in knowing, you know, what sorts of laws do what, what's the approach to trying to get the law changed, what's the approach to trying to challenge the law. And, you know, a lot of people are thankful that if you can provide an explanation on social media.
You've just described a bullshit scenario because I know, but the stuff that I see is people attacking and you're trying to educate and they just keep coming back with stupid answers.
Well,
I've seen that.
I get both, Anthony. Now, the second thing, I was going to
Well, those are the only ones I read.
I was going to get
the good ones
one.
I don't read. The real good ones I read. Go ahead, Dan.
I was going to get to the second one. There's a second group of people who just want to scream at you and they're not thoughtful about you know, the right way to do this and the right way to get things done. They just, you know, they have their issues. They don't think about a strategy. They just want to scream at people and they just want to, you know, shout about what they want and that they want it now. And, you know, for those people, you just have to explain to them they're just wrong and they don't understand, you know, how you get things done and how you accomplish goals. And you have to, and what's important is you're not going to change their minds. What I don't want people to do is read that stuff and think that they're correct. So when I'm responding to these people and refuting their positions, it's not for their benefit. It's for the benefit of the lurkers who are listening and watching the thread so they don't get the wrong impression for the people that have no idea what they're talking about.
Now, I got to say something. In defense of those people that scream and shout, I was there. I was there at one point in my life in this Pro 2A movement. And then as I got edumacated in this movement by everybody, Bachnap and Dan, as we progressed, I realized that kicking and screaming and throwing a temper tantrum isn't really going to do shit.
No,
you know,
not at all.
You know, we need to change the laws. We need to. Then when you find out the process, and then when you hear how rigged the system is, from the legislators and the judicial branch and the executive branch, it's rigged. Okay. Once you realize that, then my frustration level or my area of frustration changes now. You know, where I can't just yell at the people that are fighting for us, but I do know that I have to show solidarity. That's why I offer everybody to come on the show. That's why I want to hear different opinions on the show. Scott just threw something at me, but it's the truth. But we have to. I try to foster people to stick together and rally behind each other. It's so hard, though. It is so hard. But it's indicative of every type of organization, any type of groundswell where people are in the grassroots. There's always the one that's saying we should do ABC, and then there's always somebody else that says you're screwed up. You should be doing XYZ. But I feel these guys' frustrations, and, you know, I'm mad as hell, and I don't want to take it anymore. And, you know, we have 44, 45 states that have right to carry, and the last 43. Six states, 43, the last seven are really going to go kicking and screaming, aren't they? And I don't know if we're ever going to see it.
Well, the problem is that our side, and I'm using air quotes here, the conservative side or the pro-gun side really sucks at being able to get long-term plans into practice. If you go back to what's happening on the progressive side, this started with Woodrow Wilson and before. They made a 100-year plan, and you're seeing it come to fruition now. We didn't do that. We didn't make the New Deal. We didn't set parameters and say, we may never see this come.
We also don't normally have the flock or herd mentality. Most conservative.
Well, we say we don't. We all do. We say we don't. We would like to think that. But look at exactly what happens with the people in New Jersey. You know, if you go back to, like, look at Milgram's experiments back in the 1960s, where the guy used to shock people, you know, and the authority thing. Here, authority is taken very, very serious in New Jersey. And in the progressive mindset, they've used that level of authority to where generation after generation after generation, when we were all young kids, we could walk down the street with a rifle.
Yep.
What has happened in 20 years?
That's how you change a culture in a generation and a half.
Right. Very simple increments that no one really, it's a salami tactic, right? Nobody really realizes what's going on.
Okay, so Sandy, I'm going to disagree with you here.
Good,
okay?
Please.
Because I'm going to point out to two things in the pro-gun rights and pro-Second Amendment movement that contradict what you just said. Heller, we didn't get to Heller overnight, okay? Heller came about because of a very long-term effort to educate people on the history and background of the Second Amendment. The scholarship that supported Heller goes back many, many, many years and started a long time ago. That was exactly the kind of long-term effort that you just described.
Which is good, but it happened from a legal standpoint. It didn't happen from the average Joe. And unfortunately, what they've got going on their side is progressivism moves along very easily, and they use the groundswell of the, quote, people in order to do it.
Yeah, he told you. Meaning Dan told you.
Yeah, yes, he did. Never
listen
argue
to
with
me.
A litigator.
Scott Bach, anjrpc.org. anjrpc.org, Scott Bach?
Yep.
anjrpc.org. Go on, sign up for the email alerts. Become an associate member for $40 a month. Dan Schmutter is here on his lunch break from his law firm to come and educate us on these issues.
Thank you, Dan.
And his law firm is Hartman Winicki, and they're in Paramus and
Ridgewood.
Hartman Winicki, easy to find. Dan Schmutter handles Second Amendment cases. What other cases do you handle, Dan?
I handle First Amendment cases. I handle other constitutional issues, commercial cases, real estate, trust and estates, all kinds of stuff like that.
So keep it in the family. If you need some legal work, please check out Dan. I'm using a mortgage company that's in the office right next to his office in Paramus, Hartman and Winicki. Big, beautiful building. What's it on, Century Road?
Century Road in Paramus.
Century Road in Paramus. Park in the back lot, but just give Hartman and Winicki a call. You were referred by Gun for Hire Radio. Ask for Dan Schmutter.
Support again, those who support
he's
us.
He's here. He didn't have to come here on his lunch to help us educate us. So, Dan, I appreciate that. The other thing I want to talk about real quick. Next week, I'm going to have a letter on Gary Roth about insurance for your guns and et cetera, et cetera. But also, July 16th, we have CPR AED at WPR. Holster draw July 18th.
Quick Clot, July 23rd. Urban Shotgun, July 2nd. Use of Force, July 25th. Great class. Urban Pistol 1, July 31st at Cedar Grove. Urban Pistol 3, June 26th at Cedar Grove. We have Urban Carbine 1 and 2 coming in August. And also, Evan Knappen will be here October 14th for the last gun law seminar of the year. Remember, NJ SafeCon July 30th. Scott, Dan, I want to thank you both for being on the show again, as always, for keeping us educated and fighting as much as we can for our cause.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under license to Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Barani. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, we do thank you so much for listening. Okay, Winston, take it away. Love you guys. See you next week.